Pour nous, notre cité est dans les cieux. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. Bien que l'Épître et l'Évangile d'aujourd'hui terminent sur une note glorieuse, il faut pourtant faire attention à ne pas oublier les critiques des symboles à la communauté chrétienne de Philippe. Car il y en a plusieurs qui marchent en ennemis de la croix de Christ. Leur fin, c'est la perdition. Eux qui font leur Dieu de leur ventre et mettent leur gloire dans ceux qui font leur honte, n'ayant de goût que pour les choses de la terre. Il est trop facile de ne voir du goût que pour les choses du monde, parce que c'est la manière du monde. La manière du chrétien, au contraire, se trouve en la personne de celui qui est la voie, la vérité et la vie. Sur le mont des béatitudes, le Christ lui-même a dit « Ne vous mettez donc point en peine, disant, que mangerons-nous, ou que boirons-nous, ou de quoi nous vêtirons-nous ? » C'est de tout cela, en effet, que les païens sont en quête, car votre Père Céleste sait que vous avez besoin de tout cela. Cherchez premièrement le royaume de Dieu et sa justice, et tout cela vous sera donné en plus. Comme nous sommes déjà citoyens des cieux de par notre baptême, Dieu nous a donné le pouvoir de choisir. Serons-nous fidèles à nos promesses baptismales ou choisirons-nous de les nier et donc de renoncer à notre citoyenneté? À ceux qui sont fidèles, Saint Paul révèle leur destinée glorieuse. Le Seigneur Jésus-Christ transformera notre corps si misérable en le rendant semblable à son corps glorieux par sa vertu puissante qui lui assujettit toutes choses. In the Gospel today, we meet the woman who is suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. Saint Mark adds the detail that she had spent her entire livelihood trying to find a cure for this disease. And so the woman was then excluded from the temple and the consolations of her religion because of her ritual impurity, as well as also excluded from the consolations on the natural level, from the cities, the community, and the town, and also her natural substance, her material possessions, also had been consumed by this disease. In this we can see in this woman a type of Israel at the time of our Lord, the chosen people of God, yet, as it were, forsaken, having run after false gods. But we can also look at the woman in the Gospel today as a type also of ourselves, because each one of us also is wounded. Each one of us bears the wounds of original sin, but also each one of us has a cross to bear, whether that takes a form of something physical or an emotional wound or a spiritual wound. And since each one of us is wounded, then Each one of us has to choose one of the two paths presented in the gospel today. We can either try to heal ourselves by following the world, spending our substance trying to fill up our radical insufficiency and woundedness, even though we know that can never succeed. Or like the woman in the gospel today, we can cast our feet at the feet of Christ and with great faith and humility, as it were, to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." She had to break through the crowds that were there. I'm sure it was an act of great humility for her. She was well known, I'm sure, shunned by other people. She had to expose herself to that humility, that humiliation. And she said to herself, "If I can but touch the ritual fringe, the little hem of the garment of Christ, I will be healed." Interesting, that's we would call that a second-class relic, I suppose, right? Not that the garment of our Lord in itself had any power, wasn't magic, but because it inspired the faith of the one who desired to touch it, Christ willed that that touch of faith should be for her salvation. We might think, perhaps we're tempted sometimes to despair, either of ourselves or of the conditions of others, usually a loved one, a family member, perhaps who's been away from the practice of the faith for a long time, or some condition or situation in our own life, the resolution of which we despair. If that is the case, we can be encouraged by Jairus, the example of Jairus. Jairus is the man who was the ruler of the synagogue, whose daughter was very sick and then actually dies in the gospel today. Jairus also moved with faith, hopes against hope, that God is powerful to heal and to save, even though everyone else says to him, "Your daughter is going to die. Don't trouble the Master." That is the voice of the world, the logic of the world, and you don't listen to that. In fact, even on the road, those men came to Jairus and said, "Don't trouble the Master any longer, for your daughter has died." But Christ looks at Jairus and says, "Be not afraid, but only believe." Isn't that beautiful? That's what Christ says to each one of us as well. The woman with the issue of blood still had enough strength, as it were, to reach out her hand to touch Christ. The little daughter, the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, had no strength left. She was dead. But Christ then goes to meet her, stretches out his hand, and takes her by the hand and says, "Talitha kum, little girl, arise." And so whatever situation that we find ourselves in, or can think of that maybe a loved one is in, no person is beyond the reach of Christ. We are called to be mediators like Jairus. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, but Christ wills to associate us with him in his work of redemption, And in that way, we become little mediators. Our Lady, of course, holds a special place of mediation. She's the mediatrix of all graces in a special way, subject, of course, to her Son. And so, let us make the prayer of Jairus for his daughter our own, and be encouraged by those words of Christ: "Be not afraid, but only believe." God bless you, and Ave Maria.